You know, Washington beat USC 52-42 in Los Angeles. But this Purple Jay fella doesn't seem pretty happy about it. Here's his post from Hardcore Husky. He says, private message the Husky defense. Way to present your gaping ass to the opponent every game. Very consistent at being AIDS-ridden fucktards and wasting the best quarterback in program history. You know, the more I learn about this Purple Jay fella, the less I care for him.
Another one. All right, we the best. I'm out.
You know, with Hitler, the more I learn about that guy, the more I don't care for him.
Maybe I could be like an announcer, like a color man. You know how I always make those interesting comments during the game?
Yeah, you make good comments.
The weather is perfect, the field is fast at the Rose Bowl for tonight's ball game.
Well, I have to say, you know, Washington wins 52-42 over USC last night, and I'm just kind of sitting here this morning, just kind of maybe projecting ahead a little bit to what the bowl season would be. And Joey, I got a question for you that you might be better positioned to answer than me. But would a certain athletic director be able to wear a sundress in late December in El Paso?
You know, I can only think of one that could get away with that, and the media will ignore it. Do both of you find it fascinating that as soon as she was hired down there, it seems like that program has been on a downward spiral?
Well, there were already problems.
Lincoln Riley banned
that writer over something stupid, and that was a sign that something not all is well down there.
Well, I mean, they were riding high, and I think are they 1-3 or are they 2-3 since she was hired? I mean, we'd have to go back and look at the date. I'm just going to say 1-3 just to prove my point. It sucks, but it's probably like 2-3. I mean, she got hired. Man, did she get hired in late September? Has it been that long?
I mean, she didn't officially give 2 weeks either here. She was just out of here.
She was just gone. Yeah, no warning, just gone. But... you know, they've had that. I mean, Lincoln Riley disappears for a week, misses a week. You know, they go to Notre Dame. They completely get dismantled by Notre Dame. They lose to Utah. Did they lose in Utah or was that at the Coliseum? Now I can't remember.
That was at the Coliseum.
I was at the Coliseum.
Two home losses.
I mean, they looked like they were ready to play this game, except for the defense wasn't ready. But,
except for half the team.
Half the team, but the offense looked ready to.
Oh yeah.
The offense looked ready to play, and they're gonna get completely murdered by Oregon next week at Autzen.
Oh, so, forget it.
Well, like I posted on the Duck Refuge, you know, you're welcome, Duck fans.
Yeah, it's a little bit of trolling there.
Not really. I mean,
do you honestly think we softened them up?
Oh yeah, yeah. What does USC have to play for now? You know,
they control their own destiny in the Pac-12.
They're done. They're not going to give up. They're going to lose to UCLA. They're going to lose to Oregon. They're going to lose to Oregon and UCLA. What are they, 6-3 right now? They're done.
That sounds about right.
They're seven. They're 7-3. Right. Yeah, they're 7-3, and they're 6-2 in the Pac-12. Yeah, I think they still control their own destiny for the championship game, which is, again, what they will probably do. I mean, there was a very, very, very miracle chance had they won last night that maybe they could. I'm not even gonna say they could get in the playoff, but like really, the more important game for them is next week, because I guess you could say they're at home this week. But even if they would have won last night, they have a much better shot at beating, you know, Oregon and UCLA, losing to Washington, and then get a rematch with Washington in the championship. Where last night, even if they won, they would still have needed Washington to lose another game to, you know, get in. So, but of course, they see. I'm pretty sure they shot their wad last night, and the parade of Oregon getting every team after their toughest game is continuing. So, yeah, but you know, it's good for USC. They fought real hard.
Not a conspiracy theory either.
And Matt, I was going to say that. Matt Leinart was publicly calling before the game. He was publicly calling for changes to be made. So the natives are restless down there. They're not happy. So,
they
got Jens at the controls. So.
It's been a tough program. I mean, you got to think post Pete Carroll, they had 1 year where they came on under Matt Barkley and it finished really good, but they were on sanctions. They couldn't even go to a bowl game. They had 2016 where they beat, they surged late under Darnold and beat the Huskies and won the Rose Bowl. And then the next year, they won the Pac-12, but then they got their ass kicked in like the Cotton Bowl by Ohio State. And they weren't, I think they got blown out by Notre Dame that year too. It's other than that, they've been pretty fucking average or bad. It's pretty astounding how much that program has struggled in the past almost 15 years now.
Well, they lose to Tulane in the Cotton Bowl last year, and then
So then that of course
is a springboard for the Pac-12 writers to pronounce them as the favorites for this year. It's just ridiculous. And last night, the three of us say both publicly and also when we're just like talking amongst ourselves, we don't want to be the guy that's saying, oh, the announcers are against us and we're always complaining about it or whatever. And I thought that Fowler and Herb Street were fine, but it was like, As the three of us were texting, I said to you guys, I said, you know, hey, take a drink every time they show Caleb Williams and you're going to have, like, cirrhosis by the third quarter or whatever I wrote, you know?
Yeah. You said you'd be incapacitated by the end of the game or something like that.
That's right.
Yeah, and then I said by the end of the half. That was really bad.
But it was the wind just changed direction. And then let's see what Caleb Williams' reaction to that was. You know?
It was just like, why are you so in the bag for USC? This was the team that destroyed a conference. You know, a 107-year-old conference or whatever. This is the team that destroyed it and led to a whole other conference of 18 teams, basically aligning themselves with your competitor and Fox. So
yeah,
we're not going to see Big Ten games on ESPN and ABC. So
right.
Why are you so in the bag for? A really unlikable quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner. Why are you so in the bag for him?
I'm just saying, like, why not build it up like Ollie Frazier or something in a certain sense, you know? that now, you know, you're directing the, you know, you're in the, you know, the, you're the TV producer and you're directing this thing. All right, now get the close up on Penix, and you know, and let's build this thing up. Penix, Williams, Williams, Penix. But it was Penix, Williams, 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 Penix, Williams, 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 Penix, Williams, Williams. You know, and it was just like that. It was weird.
Well, what's annoying to us is you have the two top programs on the West Coast
of all time.
You have the two top programs. Just show some of the historical matchups.
Oh, great.
You know, that,
yeah.
that have led, yeah. up to, led up to this. Show how much, and show all the titles that have been won, you know, between us, you know, where it's like you'll sprinkle in an Arizona State or an Oregon every once in a while, you know, leading up to all these matchups over the last, you know, 60 years.
Great point.
You know, show a highlight package of that stuff, you know, building this rivalry up that's never gone away. I mean, this has still been a rivalry of the two, you know, the two measuring sticks on the West Coast. Show some of that leading up to this. And
it's not what it was, but yes.
It's not, no, but halfway through the game, I was like, this is why this should have been the championship game last year.
Mm.
You know, we all got robbed by having Utah and USC be the rematch last year. Everybody in the country got robbed. So no one wants to watch Utah. People would have watched USC in Washington.
I mean,
what?
Sorry. I was just skipping. Oh, I was totally – I was listening to you, but I'm skipping. I'm skipping through the questions.
I know you're laughing at my little
I'm sorry, Joey.
Soliloquy there.
You're like preening and still, I guess I'm pretty funny.
I was like, what a dick. What did I say that was so wrong?
I'm sorry, because that's kind of rude of me, but I couldn't help it. I was skimming through. I'm trying to, you know, manage the show here and trying to get an idea of how many legitimate questions we'll have to answer so I manage our time appropriately. And then Spoonie Love just put, I'll read it later, but he put in a little question there and it's a dig at me. And so... Everyone else probably won't even find it funny, but he was taking a shot at me. So it caught me off guard, and I apologize. I don't even remember what you were saying now, to be honest. What were you saying, Joey?
I said we all got robbed
yes.
last year of this being the championship game in the Pac-12.
Yes.
I mean,
no,
last night's
no one
game
wants to watch Utah.
No, no one wants to watch Utah. People would have watched.
Well, the Utah
game.
Fans probably do. But...
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, great point. Thanks.
I think you purposely stifled your laughter there just to get back at me, but it was really funny.
No.
That's what I think. I'll show that bastard.
No, I didn't. I'm not that petty.
By the way, someone accused us before the show began. They were saying we were going to sit around bitching or whatever. We are kind of complaining. It was a great win.
Sure.
As terrible as the defense was, it was
awesome. It was awesome. Me and Wooly Doog, you know, my wife was at this place. We were watching it. My daughter was there. We had some friends. Her friend was there. We had some other friends were there. We're all high-fiving. We're all excited. It was awesome. Great win. And the defense held them, shut them out in the fourth quarter, too. By the way,
which was amazing.
Defense. You go through the whole game and you're like, God, who do they fire? They got to fire people. They got to revamp this defense, and they got to hit the portal hard. They got to get probably eight new players on this defense. They got to turf the coaches and then shut them out in the fourth quarter. And you're like, well, this defense, they come up big when they really need to.
I mean,
but would you?
I'm still
go ahead.
I'm still interested in Turfin the coaches, Tarmac and some of the defensive coaches. But I mean, you really got to. There's a few things of like winning at USC doesn't happen very often. I know this isn't the best USC team. And if you were going into the game, you're like, are you taking a 10-point win? I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm taking a 10-point win. Especially because the third part of, like, this weird media, like, I know you'll probably accuse us of always thinking this, but it seems like there's this, like, a weird zest for the media to just, like, dismiss Washington this year for I don't know fucking why. To shut them up by giving the 10-point win at USC is pretty good. And that was everyone was, you know, just immediately claiming Washington was going to lose based on what I don't know, given how bad USC's defense is. And I figured it was going to be a shootout going in. And as stressful as it was, I didn't mind as much because I mind against Stanford and ASU. When that's stressful, like I knew this game was going to be stressful. So it was like, I wasn't like pissed off about it. And I don't hate USC like I hate Oregon. So if they would have lost, it would have been like, fuck, you know, let's win the rest of them.
I hate USC, but, hate everything
I
don't hate
they USC. Stand for. I've never hated, I was tired of getting the shit kicked out of us, getting the shit kicked out of us when USC was really good. But other than that, I've never disliked USC. I mean, the only team I dislike in the conference is Oregon, honestly, and at times Stanford, but that's about it.
But I'll say this to, I think it was Joey that made this point about 2 minutes ago. If it was you, Willie, I apologize. But if you compare, like, if we went into Corvallis and Corvallis and Oregon State was ranked like fourth in the nation and you beat them, and then you compare that to going down to the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum and beating USC when they're 17th, it almost means more to beat USC in the Coliseum just because of that history and what it means there.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. So, yeah. Yeah. And it's, you know, despite what some people think, college football wasn't invented in 2009. Yeah, that still means a lot. And I just our 1994. I looked it up. They've won three out of the last four in the Coliseum, which is pretty impressive. I mean, yeah.
So Holly Rowe said the Huskies haven't won there in a long, long time.
They haven't played there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
to which I yelled,
long,
fuck you, Holly.
Yeah.
She did. She said that.
Oh, I know. I heard it.
I
heard it.
Three out of the last
four. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Because they're dumb
shit.
They
haven't
dumb
played. They haven't played there in a long, long time.
Well, I know, but it's not like they haven't won there since 1973.
That's what I said when that's what I said when I saw the post game interview. I was like, Holly, they haven't played there in 8 years. Like, that was their last win at the Coliseum. Was, oh, they haven't won since 2015 in the Coliseum. It's like, that was the last time they played there. Like, that's the follow up to that point you're making. Like, But you can't expect. I know you can't expect, you know, those people to know the little nuances and details to everything about your team. But as Wooly Duke and I have been pointing out, or, you know, Wooly Duke's been pointing out to me multiple times, he's like, arguably best receiver on the team, been out since the third game. You know, and I say arguably because I know, like, Greg Cosell thinks McMillan is a better pro prospect than Odunze. So that's why I say arguably to any people who want to shit on that. You know, and I love McMillan, too. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine never going to get though. Mentioned. Half the defense is like banged up or out of the game.
We need Tully in there healthy. But if I could just project we want to remain focused on the here and now, but if you can look forward to next year for one thing, though, you'll have McMillan presumably back healthy at wide receiver. You got Bernard with him, and then you've got Dylan Johnson as a senior running back and Rosengarten on the line.
I mean, you got to guarantee all those guys are coming back, but –
Correct.
Yeah, I think they are. No, there's going to be – I think next year might – we're already looking ahead to next year, but, I mean, next year –
That's pretty – Next year might be a little stupid, but
– Next year might be fun because the expectations won't be as high, so it'll kind of be like last year where you're not just, like, every single game you're – worried that you're going to lose the national championship. But yeah, no, it's the like national media shit of just wanting to shit on Washington or just ignorant stuff. And you know, it's pretty funny. There was like some clip where Colin Cowherd said something about like, oh, Washington, everybody knows Oregon would beat Washington convincingly if they played again. And Washington knows it. And I used to work with him, through ESPN for this thing. And I had his fucking phone number in my phone. I would text him for work stuff. If I still had it, I seriously think this week I might've texted him, hey, fuck you, dickhead. Like, you think they fucking know that they would lose to Oregon? You think fucking Penix and fucking Rosengarten are sitting there like, yeah, we would lose to Oregon if we fucking played. That's not how people think. I'm scared that they blew out a shitty...
Unless he's doing, since that was, Washington was the team of his youth, you know, unless he's trying to do a reverse psychology on him.
Oh, Joey.
You know, well,
I challenge
you come here for 5 feet here for the conspiracy theory.
Came for the orgy, stayed for the conspiracy theory or something like that.
I wish I could do a Jesse Ventura voice, but for a conspiracy theory.
Next thing you're going to be asking me to do Howard's
bunker, and he's
you're going to be asking me to do
on the bulletin board.
You're going to be asking me to do Jesse Ventura openings for the show, right? Reading a pup rant.
I've been to the Gulf of Tonkin.
I live in the
Baja.
Where was the place Pup went on vacation? In England? What, Manchester.
Manchester, cool fucking city.
Remember that post?
Not really. I don't remember have a photographic memory of Pup's posts like you guys do. They're fun to read.
I'm going to go find it and bump it while we're talking here, but.
Okay.
So let's talk about the game for another 5 to 10 minutes, and then let's take 20 minutes to address questions, and then I'll start editing, and the Seahawks will be playing. So.
Cool.
Yeah. I mean, my curiosity is, would you define that as the team played well? Obviously, the defense didn't, but they – You know, Caleb Williams, I was saying to Joey, is like, we always talk about how Washington's kryptonite for decades now is the quarterback who can run, but he's not like he's not Lamar Jackson. He's not like just a crazy runner who's pretty accurate, like, and can just evade shit on 3rd and 8 and kill you. I mean, Caleb Williams is like made in the lab. Caleb Williams is like made in the lab. He's like the fucking Superman version of the Husky Killer quarterback, and to beat him, and you know, to get like a
Ivan Drago,
to beat him felt pretty good. I mean, all things as bad as they were, and giving up 11 yards per carry to the dreaded Austin Jones, who was like a shitty 8-year like senior guy who's never been good in the Pac-12. It still felt pretty good. It seems weird to say it, but I felt like the defense against Caleb Williams was not bad. And when he made plays, it was like he made a fucking incredible play. It wasn't necessarily just like they were bad. Like, obviously the tackling was bad, but I thought all things considered. I mean, but he's defending Heisman winner, and that's the kind of guy who's like a fucking deluxe car wash version of the guy who always kills the Huskies.
Well, it's like our tackles have all of our defense linemen seem to have alligator arms sometimes. It's really amazing.
Well, it's been the same thing, too. We've been saying for a while, the defensive tackles just never being there makes it really hard, because then it's always the D-end has to make a play in the open field against the quarterback completely. Like, it's never like they're collapsing the pocket. So it was obviously bad, and I didn't think the offense, the run offense was obviously great, but I didn't think the passing offense had their absolute best game, so I think they won with like a B.
And by the way, we're 30 minutes or so, maybe 25 minutes into the show. We haven't said the words Dylan Johnson.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
On our part.
Yeah. 256 yards rushing, 4 touchdowns. And the offensive line and USC's bad defense all deserve credit there. But that guy was running so hard and physical and tough and holding on to the ball.
At one point, I turned to Wooly Duke. I said, so we get a guy from the South. Mike Leach calls him soft, and he's a pass catching running back, and he comes up here and he's a power runner. Like, you couldn't get more opposite of what we thought we were getting.
And by the way, I didn't call out SEC Dog before, because about two to three, I think it was after the Oregon game, he was taking a bow on the boards about how he had said what an addition this guy was going to be. But I distinctly remember SEC Dog in the off season was talking about this guy was kind of iffy, and Mike Leach says he's a puss. But I liked the video that I saw of him. And then what we saw in the first game of the year, I was like, that is not what we thought we were getting. But he obviously must have been hurt. So
he said he shouldn't have played that game.
Oh, interesting.
But he wanted to.
I didn't know that.
He said on, I think it was Softy's show, that he shouldn't have played that game. And he was hurt, and he tried to tough it out. And I don't think he said it, but I think maybe Safi said it after the interview. Like, maybe he heard what, you know, Leach had said about him being soft, and so he wanted to prove that he was tough. So he tried to quote unquote tough it out that game, and then, you know, the Tulsa game he just wasn't ready to go. He needed a week off, and then came back, and he's been good ever since. So
the other theory, the working theory, is that he had a couple of off games, read the criticisms of him on Hardcore Husky, and we made a man out of him.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Sure.
I bumped the thread from Hello for Manchester, Cool Fucking City. I almost wish I didn't, because he's going on about how he's referring to black women in the UK. So, proceed with caution. But
man, there was something I was gonna take a picture of last night, and because it was something, I think it was something you said on either a podcast or on the boards, and it was something ESPN showed on a graphic or a highlight. Now I can't remember it now. Now it pisses me off.
The top 5 quarterbacks from a few weeks ago, and they didn't have Penix?
No, it was something else, and I remember I was going to say, like, okay, remember this, because, and I was in a car driving, and I was trying to tell myself, okay, remember what you saw on the TV right before you had to leave, because you'll have to write that so-and-so reads these boards, or whatever. It was something like, something almost stolen from the the annals of hardcore Husky. And anyways, you can edit all that shit out. It's not important.
Yeah. Seahawks play in 21 minutes, and I'm interested in this game. So,
okay.
Which I'm sure that enthralls our listeners. But
we found a running back that can equal Talapapa.
He's 1.5 Talapapas. I mean, he's you couldn't ask for any. You can't ask for better than this guy from the portal.
No, he's been great. He's been phenomenal.
And you can just tell from his body language and stuff that he's a good teammate. He's not a pain in the ass or anything.
As much shitting as we do on the defense and the defensive staff, they don't look like they're not invested in the team or
no.
the staff or whatever.
Totally
or whatever. So it could honestly, I'm not making any excuses for anybody. It could honestly just be a talent thing. You know,
there's a lack of coaching going on when the fundamentals are so bad.
It could be a little bit of both is what I'm saying. It could be a
yes,
talent.
Yes.
I mean, Elijah Jackson's, you know, he's struggling out there.
Yes.
He is.
And they
really
went
struggling
after.
And they went after him a lot. And they're not really replacing him. So assuming he's the best answer they have. You know, Javion Green, Thaddeus Dixon, I mean, who else they have behind them? Caleb Presley, Curly Reed, some of the young guys. I mean, they're obviously not ready. And it's Elijah Jackson. So, and to be fair to him, push-offs are legal in the Pac-12. So,
but he got kind of screwed on one call there.
I mean, if one of them wasn't Muhammad getting called for a PI, I mean, if that was a PI, then there was an obvious push off on Jackson on one of them. You know, I don't, if you're going to call ticky tack, can we call ticky tack both ways?
Well, here's what we also learned from yesterday is that we can apply going forward against Utah is that if one of the Utah defensive linemen are giving us trouble, just tear their helmet off at the beginning of the play.
Oh.
So that's all you got to do. Then we'll get 15-yard
yeah.
penalties right down the field.
Designated bitch about the referees time, Mark Duddy.
We've been doing that a lot.
It's been a bad year. I don't want to see that little fucking pipsqueak, whiny fucking ref. I'm tired of these Pac-12 refs. I know what they all look like. I know their names. I'm just fucking tired of it.
Land Clark
even like,
from Seaside, Oregon.
Yeah,
Go ahead, Woolies. Sorry.
Oh, I'm even like on both sides a little bit. Like, there's a pretty crucial holding call on USC late. Take back maybe even a touchdown or at least a big play. I'd be pissed if I was USC. I mean, the thing is, they were kind of letting them do that all game. USC's receivers were really latching on the guys, which I fucking hate. And it is one thing I feel like I like about the NFL is I think the NFL calls holding on receivers so they don't do it as much. But yeah, they're just a disaster. And it's four more games of the fucking Pac-12 refs. I can't wait to get away from them.
I remembered what I was going to say, Derek.
Oh, okay.
So the Pac-12 After Dark had Max Brown, and he's taller than Ashley Adams. I was going to say they finally listened to Derek Johnson's about tall women.
If you're going to do that, I need to say this. If you're going to do that with the 2'5", 6 guys and then the 6-footer woman, have them sit down at a table. But they're trying to, you know, they're trying to make a point about it. And it's just a bad optic, and it detracts from whatever they're going to say, because you're just looking at this kind of strange scene. That's all. So please continue.
I get it. Okay. Well, what I was going to say is I coined the term the tattletale ref, because Mark Duddy sounds like he's walking up to a recess duty after lunch recess, and he's saying there was fouls on both teams. One was holding on the offense, and the other was pass interference on the defense, and we have to offset those penalties. Like that guy, I'm tired of seeing that guy. And by the way, that line judge that called that awful spot on Giles Jackson, if you watch the game closely, he was doing bad spots all game. That guy was a half yard off on multiple spots during the game.
He was a full yard off on Giles Jackson.
It was bad, and then it was almost like ESPN was in on it. And they had to convince that Bill Lemonnier or whatever that it was a bad spot. Like, was it Herbie or Fowler that was like, well, it looks like he's across the line when he makes contact, Bill. And
Joey,
and
goes, really?
Oh, I stand corrected.
I know, but when you're publicly claiming that ESPN is behind this. Now we're going into X-Files territory again, but
no, I'm mostly just annoyed that that they don't instantly just these refs are public figures too, and they're making money. Why are we so soft on them by the media? Just call it out. Hey, that's a bad call. He'd like to have that call back. There, you're passive aggressive about it, so you're not, you know, really ripping him. You're just saying he, you know, he'll look
well,
back
it's not
at the
even
film
passive
and he'll
aggressive.
Say, well, it's just, yeah, it's just.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. So, anyways, that spot was, man, could you imagine 30 years ago you get that spot? I mean, it'd be remembered in history. Yeah, because there'd be no replay.
Great point.
There'd be no replay, and you'd be like, hey, you know, maybe that cost you a game, you know, 20 or 30 years ago with no replay.
We need to give a big shout out to ZTF. He was the one that forced the fumble at about the 13-yard line, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Kind of won the
play
game
of the night.
Yeah.
I told my dad at the beginning of the game when we were trading touchdowns in the first quarter, and I said, the only way we're winning this game is if we get, like, two miracle turnovers. And we didn't, but we did get one miracle turnover, and that was one.
First fumble recovery of the year.
Yeah. I said that to my dad. And he said, are you kidding me? And I said, no, first one, according to Joey Dangerously. And he said, who? And I said, don't worry about it.
The Tanufi sack late was basically a turnover too, because not only did it hit it, like they were like in the territory where they might go for it on fourth and or kick a field goal to tie it, I think, and it was so big it completely knocked them out of even attempting a field goal. That was basically a turnover.
And I was waiting for him to, you know, lose his grip and for Williams to break free. Get a 40-yard completion. Boy, I tell you. But, as worked up as I got about our bad defense, still an amazing victory and a big victory. And it keeps the train moving here and makes the Utah game, the buildup for that, all the better, all the sweeter. And we got 89 Ute coming to town. And, so let's shall we hit the questions?
Yes.
Okay. Grendel Stiltskin, but it's not a serious question, so moving on. Lone Star Dog. After playing a good ASU and a good Stanford, did we just play a bad USC, and will we play a bad Utah?
I wouldn't say bad. I would say they're above average. I think the Pac-12 might be getting a little hyped up more than it deserves this year. I think they're okay. I think that was not – there's no easy outs this year. That's
How
not
does
a great
ASU
answer.
deny our offense a touchdown and then give up 55 points to Utah? Will somebody explain it?
Okay, I'm going to give you my conspiracy theory of the year is that ASU
– Here we go.
Someone inside the UW athletic department or a school or the construction of the stadium had some sort of thing going on where they're able to steal Washington signs or plays or playbook or something. I think ASU was stealing.
Connor Stallions.
I was just like, I didn't watch the Utah game, but I'm just like trying to think back. It's just like, God, it certainly did fucking feel like they knew everything that was coming, the same as in 2017 when Todd Graham, I don't think got accused, but was like proven that he was stealing signs. It was fucking weird.
Did you notice yesterday the Huskies had the curtains up for the defensive calls?
Yes, I was just thinking that.
For the defensive calls. I've never seen that. I've only seen it on like offensive calls. That's kind of it was kind of weird.
But it was also behind them, so they were either concerned about somebody in the stands or they were concerned about the TV angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then being able – if they were able to watch that maybe from the USC sideline and then convey things quickly or something. So they were obviously worried about something.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see, I wonder if we'll see a shift – you know, where the pendulum swings back to goal line offenses and the quarterback running, you know, to the sideline to get the play from the coach, just like in, you know, Pee Wee football or something. wonder if we'll start seeing stuff like that. No signals, no passing, go right back to the single wing offense and Race Bannon has a tear in his eye.
Well, I gotta say, I gotta give a shout out to the team on the last touchdown where they got it was like first and goal from the one, and Joey was screaming like, "Just stuff it in, like just punch it in." I'm just like, how many times the past 2 years have they gotten like first and goal from the one, and then at the very best, you're like, suddenly it's fourth and one. And they barely get in or something. So getting that in on the first try was felt
it
like
all
a
started
felt
with
like...
Jake Locker's failed quarterback sneaks at Notre Dame.
Yeah, it felt pretty good to actually just on first down be like, oh fuck, they just got it in. We didn't have to sweat it out, and they didn't have to run like a. We didn't have to see the wildcat. They didn't have to like run a receiver pass to get it in. To basically
even
steal
Penix.
The game. So,
even Pettis on his QB sneak, he just kind of fell in. I mean, there was no resistance.
I mean, yeah, that's how bad USC's defense did. They couldn't make Washington even sweat it out on the goal line.
We still have a bunch of questions to it.
That is
ahead,
a team that is a team that looks like they don't believe in their defensive scheme.
Correct.
And their defensive coach.
Correct.
Like the Huskies, you know, battling through injuries. It never looks like they quit or give up. You know, it just looks like, you know, maybe their talent or they're out of position or there's some, you know, questionable stuff by the coaching staff. They never look like their body language never looks like they're done. Like the
That's
USC
correct.
Defense looks like they're done.
Complaining to each other and
yeah,
and
just
and they got
I mean the frustration. Well, you look at Alex Grinch. He just looks. There was times he looked. He looked annoyed, deer in the headlights, mystified at how bad they were playing, and looked like hey, he looked. There was times where he looked exasperated, like that's not how we've taught you to play on that certain coverage, or you know, when you see that look from the offensive team, like that just looked like complete shit show on that side. And then whenever they'd show Chuck Morrell after, you know, a big play by USC, he never looked, you know, he never looked like panicked or looked like a guy that looks, you know, they'd show Inge is always looking positive and looks happy. He'll hug, you know, offensive players after a good play. You know, that you get a complete different vibe from that coaching staff than
Tyrone
you do
Willingham
from
Tyrone. Never looked panicked either, but
Tyrone Willingham never looked like a football coach.
Yeah, well, you could sell him as a football coach if you didn't know what the team was doing on the field. He'd have that headset on and his arms crossed, with the stoically looking out. He. You know, if it was a made-for-TV drama on Lifetime or something, you could put him in there, you know.
He was a statue.
Yes. Like Grace Bannon said in an old Husky Half-Braid podcast, you know, he has the headset on, he flips the mic up, flips it down, flips it back on. Nobody knows if it's actually turned on or not. by the way, though, we have a bunch of questions to still answer, but there is one question I want to ask you guys. USC's final drive that ended up in a turnover and downs before we ran out the clock, did it almost seem to you like they lost their will?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't going downfield.
And then it just seemed like the flower wilted or whatever, however you want to put it.
Yeah. It never happens against the Huskies either. No one ever wilts. Like, it's always just a fucking dogfight to the very end, even, like, no matter what. So it felt pretty good to actually have a team just be like, you know what, we're done. Not like Arizona and Stanford and ASU and everyone who's still just, like, fucking fighting to the very last play.
But it was weird. They didn't even use their last time out when they still had a 1-in-500 chance to win the game. They didn't bother.
That program has just had issues. As I said, other than like those two, good years they had, where they kind of surged late by finding the right quarterback and having to take off. That just program has just like struggled. It's been a bad culture. They always, they've gotten beat by the Huskies a lot in recent history. They've gotten embarrassed by Oregon a lot. They don't seem to have any pride for anything. So it's that's a job that's going to take a lot of cultural change to me, and I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
How do you guys think the Trojans will do against Purdue in the Sun Bowl?
I don't know who goes to the bowl games anymore. I don't think they'll do well. They'll probably get some like Mountain West team that's all psyched to be in some bowl, and they'll lose like 56-7 against like fucking UNLV or like Utah State or somebody probably.
This UNLV squad is greased up. For the USC Trojans?
Well, Caleb Williams' dad, you know, puts out that thing a couple weeks ago, like that interview, which is the creepy thing about college athletics is now we're seeing dads, you know, pimping out their kids to schools for money. And, you know, Caleb Williams' dad says that thing about, you know, he could end up coming back if, you know, the finances are better than pro football. And then you see him crying in his mom's arms after the game, and he's just this really self-entitled, you know, little prick of a guy. He's writing fuck Utah on his fingers. You know, why is he the one of one given his personality? Like, why would you, you know, his dad says, if the finances are right, he could come back. I don't. If he's the one of one, like why would you draft that guy one of one? It seems like you're going to get, you know, like a taller, bigger version of Kyler Murray. Well, it's, you know, Kyler Murray's a self-entitled, chews out his coach on the sideline last year. I mean, yeah, this is like a great talent. He's got all this talent, and it just seems like his personality sucks.
But he was also coached by a, you know, Sark Light or whatever, you know.
They're the same. They're almost these same guys, you know, Kingsbury and Lincoln Riley. They, I don't know. They're just these young coaches that don't seem to give two shits about defense, and
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's weird.
But Jen will fix it. It's her problem now. So,
it's gonna be so fun to watch.
Atomic Dog would like to put the NCAA, this is him saying this, would like to put the NCAA on the Hardcore Husky watch list for fake tough guy of the year on refusing to let random players play this year for backdating the rules of discipline. More of a comment than a question, but. Bundy Dog, offensive line figured out how to run block, UFC defense bad or abundant? I think that the offensive line was, their pride was challenged this week, and USC is terrible. And there's your abundance.
It's generally always a little of both, and you know, when you give this and or thing, you know.
I'm laughing at something that Darko wrote.
My daughter just came in asking some question. Anyways. It's always a little of both. They were showing, you know, some of the, you know, the line when they kept doing that. They did that pitch play multiple times, you know, and they were showing the, you know, sometimes it was the tackle pulling, sometimes it was the guard pulling, and it was it was fun to watch them lock on to a defender and, you know, blow open holes. Like that long Dylan Johnson run was kind of a thing of beauty. And it was well executed. It was well executed,
I think we only had one holding penalty, if I recall. So, so Nacho wants to know, does Kyle Whittingham, the Utah coach, does he qualify for fake tough guy award for going sleeveless and riding a Harley? Joey?
No. No, I think Whittingham is a guy that, you know, he just never came across as a guy that, like, he has to enroll in Brazilian jiu-jitsu classes or, you know, show his physique on fucking Instagram or something like that. Like, hey, look at me, I'm working out today, I'm hitting the room hard.
Tattoo his wife on his stomach.
Yeah, he seems like a guy where if you ask anybody that's known him since kindergarten, they're like, oh yeah, Kyle, yeah, he was the guy you didn't fuck with in a, you know, in a street fight or something, you know.
And then Nacho wants to know if Wooly Dude can give an update on his conspiracy list.
Well, you got my ASU long-term stealing signs conspiracy.
By the way, you might be onto something there, though. I didn't say that because this conversation quickly turned. But you never know. That would make sense.
I don't know. I think they definitely were in 2017. I think that was almost all but proven. Something is, I don't know. This year seemed really fucking weird. Especially like it seemed like when they were running the ball, it just seemed like ASU knew every single time. And I will confirm. I think I posted about joking on the board, but I mean, I don't think it cost them the game, but I think it's pretty clear going back to the Michigan game under Jimmy that Michigan knew what the fuck the Huskies were going to run. I mean, as bad as that Husky offense was, it was like, I remember at the time we probably said to each other, me and Joey were watching it, like, they know, like, they literally know every single thing that's coming. So that makes a lot of sense.
There were plays. They would have five guys running to the same spot.
Yeah, it's like it
looked like Tecmo Bowl when you call the exact play. It looked just like that. Oh, look at this. They've blitzed right to where the running back's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Not until Austin wants to... Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I'm not going to add the script of, it's just coincidence that Oregon's going to get every team the week after they have, like, their big emotional fucking game this year. It's just fucking going to work out that way. Including the Beav. Now, I didn't even think about that. The Huskies and Beav are going to have a bloodbath, and then they're going to get the Beav.
Well, that'll be very, very, very tough game.
Yeah.
There's going to be – they're going into a den of hatred there. So.
Oh, well. Yeah.
The Beavs will be all greased up.
In Corvallis, I just hope they don't have, like, game day there. You know,
I don't think you need to worry about that.
We're not going to go too deep into it, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they go down there and win by 17 and it's the Beav. You're like, oh yeah, they're not that talented. I would not be the least bit surprised if that ends up not being that tough of a game.
But I also, from what I've seen, though, they're also a bit more physical on the lines, and that could be a problem. But then, we just ran for over 300 yards yesterday, so I don't know. I mean, I know USC's terrible.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
I mean, we don't need to go too deep into it, but, I mean, Jonathan Smith also seems to be a guy who's content. He's like, you know, kind of like, I mean, USC, like, you're kind of, again, like, why are you passing the ball? Sometimes you're like, just run it. So Jonathan Smith, I feel like, as we know, would run it like 40 times in a row.
Yeah. And then Nacho has a couple of questions. He asked if we would think Jen would infect USC so quickly, but we already kind of addressed that. And basically, our consensus is that it's going to be fun to watch that situation unravel further. And then they're going to have to try to figure out how to get rid of her without looking like they're sexist. So,
great.
H bruh. Defensive adjustments. Jesus FC. Obviously getting too deep in the first half. Zero adjustment. Unreasonable hypothetical discussion. Any chance you're taking Jimmy Lake? I'm not even going to finish the. You're a good dude in your 481 post there, HH Bra, but we're not going to speculate on Jimmy Lake coming back. What, to coach the DBs or something? So, let's see here. Fire Cohen says, can't wait to hear Joey Dangerously be negative about the 9-0 start. I mentioned to him in response to that post that if anyone's been accused of us three of being negative, it's been me, not Joey. But let's see here. I always have a tough time pronouncing this guy's name. Willander? He says, is this the worst 9-0 team of your lifetime? I mean, depends on what you're talking about. In all of college football, I mean, you could look at some of those BYU teams from the 80s.
I mean, like, Air Force did, like, 9-0 this year.
There you go. Well, didn't they lose?
And Hawaii... Oh, did they? I mean,
well, they were. Weren't they losing like to Army
they
or
did.
Something?
It looks like they lost to Army 23-3. But no, I mean, yeah, like there's even Pac-12 teams. I'm sure if you go through history that weren't that that were like 9-0 that weren't that great. I mean, this team against the 2016 team would be I think that would be an interesting game. I think I don't think this is anywhere near the best 9-0 team, and the comparisons to like 2019 LSU are pretty
laughable, especially without McMillan now. But no, I think people are getting too greased up on trying to just take away from this team. I think against the 2016 team, if we're just going UW teams, like, obviously they're nowhere in the stratosphere of 91, but I think it would be a pretty even game against 2016. I'd probably give 16 the edge because of the defense, though. And Gaskin.
But you had Penix versus Browning.
That's true. I think, yeah, it would be a fun game. It would be a fun game.
Yeah, so, yeah,
and you know
I
what,
mean,
you know what ESPN would do? They would focus on Jake Browning the whole game. That's what they would do. Sorry, I interrupted, or you wanted to say something at the same time, Willie, but I had to get my little dumb joke in there. So what were you going to say?
No, I was done.
Oh, okay. Lone Star Dog, would you rather be 7-2 with more 5 stars? Okay, hardy har har. Let's see. The HB says, since the pod is clearly the final word on Washington injuries, please to share what is hurt on McMillan. Ankle, as Chris Fowler mentioned 42 times. Knee, as most of us believe, based on reports from injury guru Bison Duck, or something else altogether. That whole thing's a mystery to me. I don't know. The constant tease about he's coming back, he's coming back, he's coming back, and then it's like I hear it now, and it's like whatever. And I just hope that he comes back next year.
I think if he was out for the year, they would have told all of us. So it's obviously not as bad as a torn, you know, ACL or something. Probably like a hyperextended knee, you know, and it keeps popping back or something. I don't know.
Lone Star Dog says, as DeBoer keeps finding a way to win with Lambeau's players, are we looking at Neuheisel Part 2?
I think it's just like that program, it's like the opposite USC where it's just like it's easy to win there and it just is what it is. I mean, he might be fine. I don't know. But, yeah, it's just it seems like no matter what's going to go on there, other than Helfrich in his third year, there's going to be success.
Yes. Sonny Shackelford says, is Jalen Polk the biggest alpha on the Husky team since Miles Gaskin? And I have to say, what a blessing in disguise was it that 2021 season that Polk got hurt on the first play of the season and was out. It must have been devastating at the time, and yet look what he's been able to experience because of that.
Yeah, he's been great.
Yeah.
He's been man. I mean, he'd be a number one receiver on a ton of teams. You know, I mean, you could argue he's a number one receiver here. You know, they play so much three receiver set. You know, so he's a starting receiver. So.
Well, his hands are every bit as good, and his size and strength are pretty much every bit as good as Roma Dunze. So,
his speed, he's got great speed.
And, he's just fantastic. Sources says, how greased up do you expect Utah to be on the heels of their ASU blowout? I think they're going to come in fired up. I think it's going to be a barn burner, not in terms of the scoring, but in terms of the intensity.
Yeah, they will be. They win that game and they still have a decent path to a decent shot at the Pac-12 championships somehow. Yeah, so it's they'll be ready.
As we come down the stretch here, we'll try to wrap these up in the next 5 minutes, and the Seahawks are already 15 minutes into their game. So Phineas says, why is there not one guy that can tackle an open space? And we've kind of already alluded to the tackling problems. It's
frustrating. In the subject of every podcast.
Yeah. So your suggestion to him is just to go back and listen to all of our previous episodes.
It's just hard to go over it every single week.
Yep.
So
Bob C wants to know, what was Alex Grinch thinking not blitzing every play? I pretty much agree.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't explain Alex Grinch, you know. I will say with the Husky D, when the game was on the line, I looked at the play-by-play. I mean, they forced a punt, and they took the ball on down. So they're still yep. clutch, baby. Still clutch.
Two girls, one Apple Cup says, how did the UW crowd sound last night? In person, it sounded pretty impressive. I watched on TV. It sounded great. Somebody I knew was down yeah. there, and they said that the Husky crowd was really, really involved. So
it sounded loud. It sounded like you would think they were playing at a neutral field or something. You know, When USC had the ball, it sounded loud. And for a minute, you had to remind yourself, like, oh yeah, we're the away team, and it probably shouldn't be this loud, but it's been like that. You know, it was like obviously it's like that at Stanford, but yeah, in the Coliseum that was pretty cool. It sounded just as loud as USC fans. You know, it's funny, they showed a clip of some USC fans, and they're like all jacked up, and they came out back after a commercial break after, you know, the Huskies took that 10-point lead, and they're all like, ah, you know, and they're all loud, and they're saying number one or whatever. And my wife right. goes, my wife goes, do they know they're down by 10 points? I'm like, this is the USC fan. They, you know.
Put Joey's wife in the booth with Fowler.
Yeah. 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 I mean,
fired
if you want
to USC fans, they're keeping the faith.
Do they know they're down by 10?
If you think we complain a lot, just wait.
Duke DuJour is upset with me that this show opened with a Norm Macdonald open, and there's also going to be sometime in the coming weeks Norm Macdonald will be reading a pup rant. But Cowboy Pup, it's funny as hell, too. But Cowboy
Pup.
Not enough
Norm. Come on.
Hey, well, Cowboy
you know
Pup.
That, you know that Caleb Williams guy? He's a real jerk.
No, you just gave me an idea there.
hey, you know that? The more I see that Lincoln Riley guy, the more I don't care for
him. Yeah, Kyle Whittingham. You know, the first time I met him. You guys know that reference?
Yeah.
Wooly, are you still with us?
I'm here.
Is Wooly there?
Okay. I'm here.
Come on, Wooly, that's funny. I don't want the University of Utah to sue my podcast, but. But it would be funny. anyway, don't worry, Duke DuJour. Cowboy Pup is still the star of the openings and will be for the foreseeable future.
What if she want an AI Sarah Silverman read of Pop Rant?
No, she's a huge Cowboy Pup fan. She's not demanding she doesn't want 50% women or representation or anything. She doesn't want Sarah Silverman.
Inclusion?
She's not happy for an inclusive opening. No, she wants Cowboy Pup now, Cowboy Pup tomorrow, Cowboy Pup forever. So,
wow,
all right. That sounded like George Wallace, though, didn't it? anyways. Anyways, let's wrap this puppy up here. No pun intended. Bananas and Blondes. Do we have any players on defense who will be first or second team all conference? I bet you Muhammad might make second team all conference.
he thinks that Trice or ZTF could get in by default because of preseason hype. Becky London, this sounds like Wooly talking. Becky London yep. could also make it if he gets a couple more inconsequential interceptions.
Yeah.
Or Dom Hampton by continuing to get tackles after the ball carrier's already 5 yards past the six.
that was another one is that you pointed out where, you know, we were laughing yesterday. Two things. Dom Hampton, you know, 17-yard game, and he's flexing, you know, and he's all jacked up. And then we were laughing also at USC. The USC coaches, like, the Huskies would get 7 yards on first down, and USC coaches looked fired up after tackle. we're like, what? That's a good play?
And meanwhile, I don't know, is John Robinson still alive? I was going to say that Don James and John Robinson would be spinning in their graves if they saw that kind of reaction from coaches, but John Robinson yeah. might still be with us.
Maybe. I don't know.
Hampton, who, you know, I've always rooted for him, but he'll get it. He gets his biggest hits after the first down has been made. And he's quite pleased with himself. He doesn't go over the top.
Should have been moved to linebacker, or could have been a stand-up edge rusher like Feeney and Littleton or something like that, you know.
Or how about this? If his hands were good at all, he could have been an H-back like Reggie Davis.
Yeah. There you go.
Maybe.
John Robinson, still with us. 88 years old.
All right. So I'm glad I qualified my remark there.
He is still working at Oregon as a senior consultant.
Wow.
Wow. Good for him.
I know. And I know he played there. He played for the Ducks.
Yeah. He was a senior consultant for LSU. In 2019. So he won a national title with LSU in 2019. Wow. Good for him.
Because you guys probably don't remember, but back in the late 70s and 80s, the Don James, John Robinson, you know, that rivalry and those showdowns were big time. He was coaching USC.
Imagine if the whole country knew that. After last night.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah,
Let's just have the camera focus on Caleb Williams for the 48th time. So,
sure.
Which was not Caleb Williams' fault per se, but it's just like these narratives are so strange, and once they get locked in, I don't know. Anyways, bananas and blondes, those were good questions infused with a little bit of humor. Spoonie Love, and this is what made me burst out laughing 45 minutes ago or whatever. Given that we are on the cusp of the, quote, holiday season, what are some of the favorite Diwali traditions of the podcast hosts? I'll take my answer off the air. Very funny. He's alluding to my history with a handful of Indian women. And maybe someday I'll even tell some of the stories that are either really funny or like roll your eyes ridiculous, but there are some. Lone Star Dog. We're almost done here, guys. Lone Star Dog, Fowler and Herb Street were talking about how good Penix is against the blitz. Thank real God nobody was watching the last 2 weeks. Amen. Bananas and Blondes again. Do you think Caleb Williams still breastfeeds when he is home for Christmas break? Oh, dear.
Oh, well.
Okay.
Is it that out of the question?
I put it at 1 in 300. I mean, a minister I used to listen to years ago, he said, you
you would shudder to know the reality of what the horrors of what goes behind closed doors. So you never know, but I'm not going to speculate on that because we don't do hypotheticals on our podcast. Spoonie Love, can we expect the, quote, participating without a helmet ref to be head of officiating for the Big Ten next season? Willie?
No. Nope.
Three more, man. And then we're done. I feel like we're losing Willie, too, so we got to hurry here. So, Spoonie Love, again. No, I do. You're fading. It's all right. You're human. If someone cuts you, you bleed. Booty Love, why are there so many chicks hosting football shows?
I don't know. I do know. I do know, but I think it's funny, you know, women, hey, we're not objects, you know, we're not objects to you men, yet they keep getting hired for these jobs just for the eye candy. So, and it works because, you know, I mean, you know, we're mostly straight men watching these football games, and, you know, attractive women catch our eye.
There was a girl I knew about 6 years ago, and she was in her 20s, and she was telling me about how she wasn't talking about me, but she said she didn't appreciate being objectified, and I looked at her and I said, "You're wearing yoga pants."
Yeah.
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 And she did not take kindly to that comment, but
yeah, cool.
So. By the way, Spoonie Love, Bananas and Blondes, and Back to Pack, none of them have shitty little badges next to their names. That's a little bit sad. So let's see here. Two more to go and then we're done. Bananas and Blondes. If you haven't finished the question, because he posted this just a few minutes ago. If you haven't finished the questions from the callers, we don't have callers, but okay. Please go to the Anyone See Jen thread and comment on the creepiness of the picture Fudgy took. I did not know that Fudgy took a picture. God help us. Do I even want to see this? Am I going to have to delete
it in
the morning?
Was Fudgy down there and at the game?
Fudgy mentioned he was at the game.
Well, now we have to find the picture.
Anyone see Jen thread? I don't even know that I... Oh, here it is.
Anyone see Jen?
Oh, dear.
Eat my fucking asses. Oh, there it is. Oh, it's Kim hugging her? Is that Kim?
I don't know. Is that him?
Yes, it says yes, he with everyone's favorite person. Bet he snuck her a shooter. Wow.
Here's your AD, Trojan fans. Put her in, coach.
Man.
Okay, what is a shooter? Bet he snuck her a shooter. What does that mean?
Obviously a tongue in the ear or something.
Okay. Okay, I'm not gonna read that. I didn't know
question.
That came from Fudgy.
Who does the first lawsuit come from?
Well, it's not gonna come from the University of Utah because of my self-restraint, but you know, the first time I ever met Kyle Whittingham. Okay, and there's a horrible picture of our former NIL person. The Kwiatkowski is posted there. Anyway, so wrapping this thing up, I think that was it then, because Back to Pack responded to Bananas and Blondes and said, "It's a video, wish I could post it, it's fucking hilarious." Well, maybe if you were a member of the WOM, you could post it there, Fudgy. All right, so I guess that pretty much wraps up the show. Do you guys have any concluding comments before we go to
I start editing and we follow the Seahawks.
9-0.
And Utah with the 12:30 start. Amen. All right, then. So, talk to you guys later.
Got it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Hardcore Husky Podcast. This show is copyrighted material. In other words, stop plagiarizing our shit, fuckos. So please tell a friend and rate us 5 stars on iTunes, especially you cheap bastards who don't donate. It's the least you could do. Yeah, I'm looking at you, creepy coog. And come join our fun over at hardcorehusky.com. We've got Husky Football, Yellow Snow's Record Shop, and our notorious Tug Tavern, which is a shit show of politics and strange news. And if you enjoy yourself and are ready for the next level of cyber
peyote,
come join Swain's Wigwam. I'm going to have to read this over.
Sway's Wigwam, yeah.
Sway's Wigwam at Navajo Nation's Gift to College Football. It's also the official private club of Hardcore Huskies. We're talking boobs, guns, and inside information, all for the low fee of $129 a year. Come join the fun. I have to redo that one, but...